You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hello, Koinonia Church. We are in week 5 of our 40 days of prayer. How's it going? How are you doing? Are you engaging? Are you staying engaged? Have you fallen off the wagon? I know there's been some days that I've fallen off the wagon, and I'm seeking to stay growing in this area. And it is a push, and it's at times a slog. It's a challenge. And I just want to encourage you, even if you haven't started, if you're behind or if you've kind of failed, wherever you're at, or you're succeeding every day and wonderfully reading and engaging, wherever you're at, continue to press in, continue to grow in this area of prayer. You can still get a book. You can still jump in right where we're at. If you need to, you can go back and watch previous lessons, but stay engaged in this area of prayer because God's meeting us. We're building a prayer mountain, a mountain of prayer. We're seeking to become a house of prayer and worship at all times, and finding God's face in the midst of a moment in our world where, boy, we really need to see the Lord. We need to hear His voice. We need to keep encouraged. We need to be the church. And the way that we do that is we continue to communicate with the Father. There are so many things that He desires for us to talk to Him about. So many things that will not happen in our lives, will not happen in this world unless we pray about them. And so we need to be praying. We need to be praying about what's going on in the world. We need to be praying against Corona. We need to be engaged in prayer for our family and for our community and just asking the Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. This week, what I want to do is talk to you about a subject that I think is near to all of our hearts. I want to talk to you about praying for healing and restoration in our lives. And how do we do that? How do we stay engaged in that? How do we ask for healing? Does God even want to heal us? And my experience is this, and I think it's probably yours, is that praying for healing in our lives is one of the most frequent requests that we make in prayer to God. Now, we should pray about all kinds of things, and we do pray about all kinds of things. We pray for provision, we pray for our finances, we pray for our family. But over and over again, I find that I'm bringing to the Lord specific needs when it comes to our bodies, to healing that needs to happen in people's physical beings. And there's something that's near and dear to our heart when it comes to that. And we need to know what God thinks about our requests for healing, because it's an important thing. I think of Matthew chapter 8, and Jesus encounters a man who has leprosy. And the man comes to him and says this in chapter 8, verse 2. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus says to him, he looks at the man with leprosy who's come out of the blue, just kind of came up to him and fell at his feet. And Jesus said, I am willing. And he healed him in that moment. There's something special about a healing miracle. There's something unique and powerful about healing. And I think it's because partially we're so familiar with the reverse of healing. We're so familiar with the breakdown of our bodies, and our bodies are subject to the natural order. The second law of thermodynamics, we are all intimately familiar with it, even if we can't quote it. We live it every day. And it basically says that all of the world, everything within this natural universe is breaking down. It's all moving towards ultimate breakdown and rust. And you and I have that experience every day. The new car that we purchased just a short time ago now is not so new. The shiny wax is dulled. The new car smell is long gone. The kids have done all the things that the kids do to it inside the car. And that beautiful, gleaming piece of metal that we were so proud of is now moving eventually to the junk pile where all cars are going to go, no matter how much time and energy we invest in them. Our bodies are great examples, right? The bodies that were once wrinkle-free and tight are not so much anymore. And we know that even as much as we work today to maintain our physique, our good looks, as much of the things that we do to it, at the end of the day, our bodies are going to break down. The hips that once swiveled now grind. And that's just the way that things are. We're subject to the law of decay. And everything in the natural order is. And there's something about healing, a healing miracle, divine, miraculous touch from the Lord that reverses the natural order. And I want to encourage you today that we serve a supernatural God. See, we serve a God that's not stuck in the natural order. He's not subject to the second law of thermodynamics. He doesn't decay. There's no time at which he's going to run out of energy. And so as we engage with him, we engage with a God that reaches into the natural order and reverses things. And we should expect that because we serve a God that's supernatural. We are a supernatural people. And so we should expect supernatural things to happen. I just have a quick little illustration to show you about the miracles in the Bible that I think will underline this idea of the special nature of miracles of healing. And this is a representation of all the different kinds of miracles that are listed in the Bible. And this comes from the Logos software. And they put together each and every miracle. Every dot represents a miracle, and they counted them all throughout the scripture. They categorized them by types of miracles and then put them in these groups in this kind of infographic. And you can see that the numbers of miracles are more than any other type of miracle. I'm sorry, the numbers of healings are greater than any other type of miracle listed in the Bible. So you have healings, you have miracles of nature where, you know, Jesus calms the storm or the sun stops, as we see in the Old Testament, miracles of provision, miracles of judgment, lots of different kinds of miracles. But healings occur more than anything else. Why is that? There's something special about healing. There's something special about the way that God works in reversing the decay that happens in our physical bodies. When I was a young man, 8, 9 years old, I went in for my third surgery on my ears. And I had a bad problem with my ears. Every season, my ears would fill with fluid. And some of your kids have this experience, or you had this experience when you were a kid, you get ear infections. And for me, they were so bad that my eardrum would burst every season, and it was causing progressive and chronic hearing damage. And so they put in tubes in my ears 1 year. Then, of course, I grew out of them. I had to put them in again. I was going in for a third surgery, and they were going to put in permanent tubes in my ears because they just figured this is, you know, we've got to stop the damage. It's getting worse and worse. His hearing is going to be forever affected, and this problem is not going away. Well, my dad was frustrated, of course. He'd prayed for healing. He'd asked for healing. Nothing seemed to be working. Nothing seemed to be changing. And almost in desperation, he came into my room, I remember, the week before the surgery was scheduled. And as I fell to sleep, because he didn't really know what else to do, is what he says. He said, yeah, he just whispered Jesus in my ears, you know, Jesus, first in one ear and then in the other, almost as just a final cry, Lord, would you please do something in this area of healing? Well, we went in for the surgery. The day came, and my dad said to the doc, you know, would you look, please, one more time in his ears, just in case something happened. We've been praying, we've been asking God, before he goes under, before you actually start cutting, would you please check it out? And lo and behold, the doctor looked in my ears, and first in one, then the other, and he said, hey, the scar tissue is gone. The surgery is not necessary. He was a man of faith, thank God. He said, there's a miracle that's happened here. You guys go home. I didn't have the surgery that day, and I haven't had any hearing problems since, and even though my wife thinks differently. But I know that healing is real. I know that God heals people. Just a few months ago, my wife was in a worship service. This is pre-corona, when we could actually be together in the building, crammed in together. She was at a conference. And in a time of worship, and there was just a sense of God's presence, a sense of his healing power there. And someone from the mic just said, you know, you need to reach out for healing for those that are around you. She began to pray for healing for our son, who has a chronic issue. And then she felt like the Holy Spirit reminded her, you need to ask for healing. And because she, my wife, has dealt with a chronic neck issue for some years because of an injury. And so she just began to ask, Lord, you know, would you heal me? And she began to feel what she describes as tingles on her neck. And from that point forward, there has been an incredible relief that has happened from her neck injury. And because God is a healing God. One more story, and then I'll just get right into the notes. But this is a Koinonia-specific story. Some years ago, we had a woman that we were praying for who had cancer, and she was... went from stage 1 to stage 2 to stage 3 to stage 4. And it came to the point where the doctor said, there's nothing else we can do. We need to send you home. And ultimately, we need to send you home on hospice. We need to send you home to die. Well, we continued to pray as a church. And, you know, what do you do except for ask God for his intervention? And something happened that in that time period when she was supposed to be getting weaker and weaker and she was supposed to die, she began to little by little, and it wasn't instant and it wasn't just overnight, but little by little, her body began to gain strength instead of losing strength. And she began to get stronger instead of weaker. And first, you know, it was just like, well, I guess she needs a little bit less pain medication, but pretty soon she was off all of her medications. And pretty soon she was walking, and pretty soon they couldn't find cancer in her body. And she today is living and strong and has a wonderful family. Because God is a healing God. What has God done in your life? Many of us have had those healing, miraculous experiences. And it is so powerful just to begin to rehearse them and to recall them, because it really does build our faith in a God that heals today. If you're in the chat, if you're online, why don't you just share with the group, maybe if you have experienced that healing, what that was. Or yeah, I would love it if you would email me and tell me about your healing experience of how God divinely healed you. Because as we share those with one another, we really are encouraged to see that God is a powerful and engaged God. He desires to heal us. Now, if you're taking notes, I want to give you a couple of things here that I think will encourage you in your prayer life when it comes to healing. And I just want you simply to write this: why I should pray for healing. I want you to know you should be praying for healing, and these are some reasons why you should pray for healing. Number one, I need to pray for healing because God is the healer. God is our healer. God actually identifies himself to the people of Israel as a healing God. You have to remember that in the Old Testament, God was taking a people group, first with Abraham and then later with Moses, and he was teaching them who he was. He was progressively revealing his nature to a people that didn't understand who God was. They didn't have the scripture, they didn't have a Bible, they didn't have a deep understanding of who God was. And so he began to tell them who he was. And one of the ways that he did that is he told them his name. And we see in the scripture several times where God identifies himself to the people. He said, I am Jehovah Nisi, I'm the Lord your banner. I'm Jehovah Rapha, I'm the Lord your provider. Well, one of the names that he tells the people of Israel that he is, he says, call me, I am the God, your healer. Let me just read this to you, Exodus 15, 26. It says, he said, this is the Lord, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. So in other words, my very nature is a God who heals. Remember that he told Moses, I am that I am. Here he's saying, I am a healer God. I can't help but want to heal my people. The great thing is that we know about God that he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was a healing God for the people of Israel. He's a healing God today for all of his sons and daughters. His very nature is one that heals. Secondly, I want you to write here that God responds to my requests. God responds to my requests. God is not only asking us to talk to him, but he wants us to ask so that he can answer. We are told over and over again in Scripture that we're supposed to bring our requests to God. We're supposed to tell him the desires of our hearts. In James, it says that you don't have because you don't ask. So many times we don't receive things from the Lord because we have failed to ask him. In Psalms 145, it says he fulfills the desires of those who reverence and trust him. He's a God that wants to answer our prayer, and so we simply need to bring quickly our requests to him. So the ministry of Jesus was the ministry of healing. The very nature of Jesus is the very nature of the Father. Jesus said, whatever I do, I'm doing because I see the Father doing it. And so wherever he went, whatever he said, whatever he did, for us, when we see that in the New Testament, we see he's the perfect reflection of the Father. And his ministry was full of the miraculous. His ministry was full of healing power. Look at this in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 19. And this is when Jesus's cousin John is sending some of his disciples to kind of check in on the ministry of Jesus to see if Jesus was the promised Messiah. And it says this, so John dispatched two of his disciples to go and inquire of Jesus. When they came before the master, they asked him, are you the coming Messiah we've been expecting? Or are we to continue to look for someone else? John the prophet has sent us to you to seek your answer. Now, without answering, and I love that, without answering, Jesus turns to the crowd and healed many of their incurable diseases. His miracle power freed many from their suffering. He restored the gift of sight to the blind, and he drove out demonic spirits from those who were tormented. Only then did Jesus answer the question posed by John's disciples. Now, he says, go back and tell John what you have seen and heard today. The blind are now seeing. The crippled are now walking. Those who were lepers are now cured. Those who were deaf are now hearing. Those who were dead are now raised back to life. The poor and broken are given the hope of salvation. Incredible. Incredible. Jesus says, listen, you're wondering who I am? Look and see what I'm about to do. I'm going to heal people. I'm going to set them free from the oppression of the enemy. I'm going to save people from the, I'm going to forgive sins, save them from their sins, save them from their state. And all of this I'm doing because I have been sent by the Father to demonstrate to the people of the earth that he loves them, he desires to open heaven to them, he desires to bring a whole new order to reverse the power of sin and death, to reverse the power of the curse over this land. And so wherever Jesus is, healing flows. And so we should always know that we can come to Jesus and expect he desires to heal, he desires to restore. The only thing really that ever limited Jesus's healing power was a lack of faith. He goes one time to his home in Nazareth, and it says there in the account in the book of Mark that he could do no mighty miracle because of their lack of faith. They were so familiar with Jesus. They knew who he was. They had grown up with him. He was the carpenter's son. And something about the familiarity, something about the proximity lowered their expectation, and because of that, he was limited in what he could do. But he wanted to do many great miracles. He wanted to do mighty miracles, but he couldn't because the people did not expect him or want him to do them. The fourth reason why we should pray for healing miracles is that healing miracles are the calling card of the people of God. We, as the people of God, are supposed to be engaged in healing all those that are around us. We're told to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We know that as Jesus's ministry was the miraculous and was healing all those who were sick, he then gave that ministry to the disciples, and they went and did that because they were given that same authority. We see in Mark chapter 6 that Jesus gives his disciples, he sends them out, and they go and they begin to anoint people, to heal them, to cast out demons. And then we see in the book of Acts, all throughout that early history of the church, that wherever the gospel was preached, also what happened was signs and wonders. It was miraculous healing power of God that flowed in amazing ways. And so the book of Acts is just filled with healing miracle after healing miracle, among many other incredible, miraculous, supernatural events. We should expect the same thing. We should expect, as the people of God, that our calling card, our hallmark, is that healing flows as we bring his light and his hope to the world. Wherever the gospel is spoken, wherever the freedom that Christ brings because of his sacrifice on the cross, setting people free from their sins, that their eternal life can be changed. Also, physical healing just should happen. James 5 says this to the church, to you and I, says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Just as a side note, I'm always surprised when people share with me that they're struggling with an illness, but they haven't come to the elders of the church, they haven't come to the prayer teams, they haven't come up front during a service or called and said, hey, can you pray? They haven't received that kind of prayer, even though that's what James tells us. That's something that we should do. It's available to us, and we should be engaged in it. Now, let me just talk to you very briefly about how we do this. How do we pray for healing? And you just write these down. First of all, I want you to remember that you should ask without hesitation because we are the children of God. We just need to very simply come to the Lord without any kind of hesitation, without wondering, man, is this okay? No, we just go as kids to Daddy God saying, Lord, would you please heal? Would you please touch? Would you please restore? Would you please intervene? Jesus actually refers to healing as the children's bread in Mark 15. And he's talking to a woman who is asking for healing. And he says, I want you to understand that healing is the children's bread. What he meant by that is healing was for the people of Israel. And I want you to know that we are now the spiritual people of Israel. That's what we learn throughout all of Scripture. All of the promises for Israel, now the promises for the people of God, the children of God. And so bread is this idea of sustenance and food that is given to those who are hungry. And we are the children of God asking, and we can ask freely, and we should do that. Secondly, we should ask in faith, out of a knowledge of who God is and how He operates. We should ask in faith. Now, asking in faith is critical and it's key because faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. And the more you know about Jesus, the more you walk with Him, the more you're going to grow in your faith and your trust of Him. And it's so critical for us to understand what faith is. We get this amazing explanation, definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And the author of Hebrews simply says this, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. What does that mean? Well, faith is the evidence of things we can't see. We do things when we have faith. This is just, I think, a wonderful example. When there are no clouds in the sky and there is no evidence to the contrary, we still carry an umbrella with us because we heard the weatherman say that morning, there's gonna be rain today. Well, we don't see the physical evidence of it, but we have faith that it's gonna happen because someone told us about that. That's simply what faith is. It's belief when the evidence is to the contrary. What our physical eyes see is not necessarily indicative of the reality of the supernatural because we know we live in a natural world. Our senses, natural senses, can only see natural things. But faith reaches into the supernatural. It reaches into the realm that is beyond what we can see, what we can feel, what we can hear, and it pulls into this plane the supernatural provision from a God who is outside of this plane of existence. Jesus said, hey, if you have faith, even the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it will be uprooted and thrown into the sea. Now, I don't think he was literally calling his believers, his followers, to tell physical mountains to be thrown into the sea. He was saying, listen, the mountains in our life of impossibility, the mountains that seem that nothing can change, healing cannot happen, there's no natural thing can result from this, but supernaturally speaking, God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with Him. And so we as the people of God need to ask in faith, engaging a God who not only hears us, but desires to respond to us. And then three, I want you to ask in discernment. Ask in discernment. Now, what do I mean here? We have to recognize that sometimes God is doing something, and sometimes it is just time. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's one thing just to ask, because God says ask, and to know that, you know, healing is the children's bread. It's another thing to ask in faith because we have an understanding of who God is and we have a gift of faith and we've built it up inside of ourselves. But there, I think it's almost like a deeper level when we're asking, is seeking what God's will is. We're discerning, Lord, what are your desires in this moment? What are you doing in this hour? And I think sometimes we skip that step. And instead of praying according to what God wants, we pray according to what we want, which is always why we're saying, Lord, would you please talk to me about what you want to do in this moment? Sometimes God wants to heal in a different way. Sometimes God wants us to learn something in the midst of the process. Sometimes He wants to heal right now, in this moment, instantly. And sometimes people die that's just the way that it is that we do not have control over everything. And just because we want some things to happen and we quote some verses, we don't have, it's not like, faith is not a magic wand and we say some certain words in a certain pattern, we repeat certain phrases, or we say, you know, like you heard that story of my dad speaking Jesus into my ear, we think, well, that's the formula. No, this is not a formula. This is us as the people of God communicating with the Father who is supreme and sovereign over all things and saying, Lord, what do you want to do in this moment? Because perhaps you're at work and perhaps you are doing something deeper than what we can see. And perhaps the healing you want to do is eternal, and perhaps it's right now in this moment, it's natural. And so praying in discernment says, we understand that, Lord, your project is bigger than our project. And so we don't have to be afraid because God is in control. We don't have to hold on for too long. Sometimes people are going to die. Everyone is going to die, and some sickness is, in fact, unto death. Sometimes people are going to go, actually, everyone that I ever heard of is in heaven, right? Once upon a time they lived, except for Jesus who resurrected. We're all going to go to that one certain place. And so we have to pray in discernment and in trust. All right, now, let me just give you this last portion here quickly. What do we do when healing doesn't happen? Isn't that your experience that sometimes we pray for things and they don't come about? Sometimes we pray for somebody and they die. Sometimes we pray for healing and it's a chronic illness that we or the person struggles with for year after year after year. And I just want to give you these reminders and things to adjust us as we pray for healing. The first thing is this. We don't adjust our theology based on our experience. So just because someone has not received a healing doesn't mean that now we change our expectation. Oh, maybe God is not a healer, or maybe he doesn't want to heal. No. We go to the scripture first, and we allow the scripture to inform us about what God wants to do, and we pray and believe accordingly. We don't let our experience then adjust what we believe about the scripture. And so if you have been beat up, if you have prayed and it hasn't happened, if you've been disappointed, and I know many of us have, and sometimes we've gone through a struggle that we didn't understand, and the miracle didn't come, and the healing didn't come, and the person died, or they're still struggling with that thing that seems so horrific and so filled with pain, and we don't understand it all. We don't adjust our theology. We bring our broken hearts back to the Father. We don't get mad and say, God, why didn't you? No. We say, Lord, we trust you that you're sovereign, you're in control, you're at work. We don't understand why, we don't know why. We're not looking for some magic answer. What we're looking for is the fact that we still trust in you and we still trust in your word. And now heal us and fix us and realign us, but we're not gonna quit. We're not gonna stop praying. We're not gonna stop praying in faith and we're not gonna stop believing. Secondly, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't ever stop praying. Some miracles take time. Sometimes we ask once, twice, three times. We got to keep asking. Sometimes we stand for a miracle. We stand for a healing. And we should not fall into an easy prayer that just says, well, okay, you know, I guess if it didn't happen the first time I prayed, then it's not going to happen. Sometimes we got to pray for a while. Even Jesus sometimes prayed more than once for a healing to happen. And he was the Son of God. He could do all things. So don't quit. Keep going, keep praying. Number three, don't get mad at God. And I really already said that. Don't get mad at God when he doesn't answer in the way that we want. That's why we get mad. We get mad when our will is not accomplished. We get mad when things don't happen the way that we want them to happen. So let's not do that. Let's remember that ultimately we trust a God who's in control. We don't see enough. We don't know enough. We can't perceive enough. He sees everything, and he's working everything out. And the ultimate faith, the ultimate trust, is faith in the sovereignty and the supreme control of the Lord. And then number four, dare to live in the contradiction. We dare to live in the contradiction. There is a contradiction at times when we pray and we don't see it happen. We believe and we trust and we don't understand why. And we, as a people, are a people of contradiction. The people of God live in a contradiction. We are supernatural people living in a natural place. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us, the very power of God, that is living inside of us, bringing eternal life, flowing into our bodies, and yet we live in a natural world that is full of sin and decay. Our very bodies are breaking down. We are a living contradiction. We carry something supernatural, and yet we live in the natural. We're going to see that in every area of our life when we face challenge and when things don't look the way that we thought they should look. There's a contradiction there. We pray and it doesn't happen, and we are struggling because we don't understand. We got to be okay with that. We just know that at the end of the day, God is working. He's working behind the scenes. He's working on our behalf. He's working things out. And even though we don't get it when we want it, even though sometimes the answer is no, even though we don't always understand, we're not going to be afraid. We're not going to stop praying. We're not going to stop engaging because God is still working. So I want to encourage you. Who are you praying for? What healing are you reaching out for? God, I believe He's a healing God. We see that in Scripture. We see that in His nature. We see that in the ministry of Jesus. He's told us to ask, who are we praying for? Who are you praying for? Who's on your list that you're standing for? I've got some people in my life that I'm continuing to ask God for. Some of them are you who are listening today. One is my son who I live with every day, who struggles with a chronic issue because of something that happened years ago. And we believe that God's going to heal, but we haven't put a timetable on that. And we're continuing to stand and press. We're dealing with our own internal contradictions. I think that we should be doing that. And I think that we're going to see more and more of His miraculous power, more and more healing come as we reach out for it. What do you need maybe in your body today? What do you need in your family today? I want to pray for you, but I want to encourage you to begin to write those things down and dedicate yourself to lifting those requests to a God who hears and who heals. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank You that today You heal. Today You're a God of power. Your nature is healer God. So we come to You, Lord, and we're asking that You would help us to pray. Give us faith. Give us, Lord, the ability to stand and to not give up in our prayers. And Lord, I pray for those today that are struggling, those that have a chronic pain issue in their body, those that have a death sentence from the medical world, those that don't have the answers and they're reaching out today for healing and for Your divine power to flow. Lord, I just pray that even in this very moment, You would heal our physical bodies. Heal my brothers and sisters. For those that they are lifting up in their family, those, Lord, that need a touch, that need a reminder of Your goodness. Lord, I thank You that You healed people because You are demonstrating the goodness of God. It was an evidence that what You were saying about freedom eternally was actually present in the here and now. So I just pray that that evidence would happen, that Your people, the people of God, would be full of the miraculous power of healing. Do it in our midst, I pray, in the name of Jesus. As you do that project, I want to ask you to tell me about it. I want to send me an email, andrew@kchanford.com. Certainly put in the chats on Sundays, but I would love to hear, who are you praying for? How are you praying? And please send me when God answers those prayers. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchanford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.